Dear God, I thank you for each person here. Lord, we acknowledge that each one is made in your image. The imprint of your value is upon them. Lord, we thank you that we have that kind of value. We thank you that you paid the ultimate price for us on the cross as we just celebrated. We are grateful. Lord, I pray that we would be people who affirm and value human life as a reflection of you, that we would be people that reach out to others in compassion and truth, offer grace to ourselves and to others, that we are people who are good news. Lord, this is our prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you're an outline person, there is an outline in the bulletin if that helps you with your learning style. So the question this morning is, I want to ask this. What is the most dangerous place in America or around the world? If you had to answer, what is the most dangerous place in America or around the world, what would you say? Internally, you might say, well, clearly it's an inner city gang-dominated neighborhood. Or clearly it's a place where there has been civil war and unrest. But I submit to you that the most dangerous place in the world today is in the womb of a mother. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the fact that we are told by Charles Swindoll, the author, that worldwide, and I want you to do something. I want you to look and see if there's a post-it note stuck right in front of your chair. Do you see that? Not everybody. If you have a post-it note stuck right in front of your chair, would you stand up for just a minute here, real quick? Stand up. And I want everybody to look around. According to Swindoll, worldwide, 105 babies are killed every minute. And so we put out 105 post-it notes. You can be seated. I just wanted you to get a sense of the magnitude of what we're talking about, of what we're dealing with. If you look at what America has lost in casualties through our various wars that we fought, many of you are military, from the Revolutionary War all the way to Afghanistan and Iraq, we're talking, by my count, according to the sources I looked at, about 1,167,524 American casualties in war. And then I want you to think about the fact that in the war on the unborn, in our country, not the world, in our country, in the United States of America, since Roe versus Wade was passed by the Supreme Court, and the anniversary of that ominous and dark day in American history will be this upcoming week, 62 million is the best guess that we have. I want you to think about that. 62 million American citizens. To grab that, because that's an incomprehensible number for me, since the 1973 Supreme Court decision, have lost their lives to abortion. I want to have you, and this will take a moment, add up, just kind of in your thinking, as you're looking at a map of the United States, pull up a map of the United States in your mind, the population of Georgia, Michigan, Virginia, Nebraska, Nevada, Iowa, South Dakota, Rhode Island, Arizona, Oregon, Kansas, Vermont, Massachusetts, Mississippi, and our state, Alaska. You put in the current populations of those 15 states, you get about 62 million people. That's the extent of the human bloody toll of Roe versus Wade in the United States of America. We are told one out of three U.S. women will have an abortion sometime in their lifetime, that it's the number one surgery of women that happens, that around the world we're looking at 42 million abortions every year, 42 million every year. That's 115,000 abortions every day, according to certain statistics. The pro-abortion position is this, that it's not a baby, that's what they used to say. It's a fetus. You still hear that sometimes. Now it seems to have shifted in my reading of the pro-choice arguments that, yeah, it is a baby, but it's inconvenient, or it's a crisis, or the baby can't be elevated above the needs of the mother. And the next piece of their position is that unwanted pregnancy puts women at risk, that the woman is more important than the fetus, and they always are very intentional about use of that word because it doesn't convey quite baby like. The pro-life position in opposition is life begins at conception. That all you need is time and food and protection, and you will continue to grow. Nothing significant or essential about us has changed from that time on. That unborn babies are fully human. A baby in the womb and a baby in your arms are the same. The only difference is location and maturity. How does God view the unborn? It says this in Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So we're his masterpiece. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He has a plan for your life. He has a direction. One author said this, abortion is an affront to God's authority as creator, an assault on God's work in creation, and an attack on God's relationship with the unborn. So I just want to give you four very quick ideas. I want to use the word pact, which is just means an agreement among people or individuals, and I want you to have that as just something to hang on to in your memory and to think about this. How can we make a difference? How can we step into this, lean into this particular issue, which I think is so foundational? I believe it is the civil rights issue of our day, just as slavery was once the civil rights issue in the United States, and it took countless lives to end that. The P in pact is for prayer. And I'm not going to elaborate on it, but we're a church that believes in prayer. We kind of live and die by it. I cannot change the Supreme Court, but prayer can. Jesus tells us in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I believe that. It may take lots of time, but I believe that. And one of my favorite quotes I go back to a lot is Mark Batterson, who says, anything God can do, prayer can do. And so it is not just kind of a throwaway to say that we're praying about this. You should fervently pray for the leaders of our nation, pray for our Supreme Court, pray for our president, our Congress, those that have anything to say about abortion in this country. And so I encourage you to make that a regular piece of your prayer life. I mean, we are talking, the numbers of abortions have gone down, it looks like. But we are talking, it wasn't too long ago, that we were losing to abortion about what America lost on September 11th every day. Stop and think of the weight of that. Every day. And so the P is pray, because that invites God to act. It invites him to work. And we are seeing some movement there. We have seen some pro-life judges put in different courts and on the Supreme Court. And I think that we could see in our lifetime the reversal of Roe versus Wade. But we need to be fervently praying. The A in pact is for act. Proverbs 24, verse 11 through 12 says, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will not he repay everyone according to what they have done? A story that haunts me, honestly, comes out of World War II, and they were talking about a church in Nazi Germany. And they were right on the rail lines. And as the boxcars would come by, packed with Jewish people, see, people who were treated as if they weren't human. And there they were worshiping in the church. And they would hear the cries of the Jews crying out from the boxcars as they went by. And they said, well, what did you do, Christians? And they said, we sang a little louder. Psalm 82:4 says, rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. How do you rescue the weak? There's lots of ways you can, things you can do. You're going to hear some, you know, frontline stuff from Find Out Free Clinic. They're in the thick of this. But what can we do? We can help with that, but we can vote. What a politician believes about abortion matters. Where someone stands on the death of 62 million Americans since 1973 matters. It is not the only issue that I look at, but it is the gateway issue. If you get that issue wrong, I won't look at other issues. Because that is foundational. And you need to understand, you look at two parties, we have two dominant parties, you look at one party, every major candidate is for abortion on demand and taxpayer-funded abortion. Not that hard to find the research. Do some research. And I admit that often voting is the lesser of two evils. I admit that. But this is a clear issue. And we should vote. As near as I could tell, about 40%, I looked at different sources, of evangelical Christians did not vote in the last election. That's millions of us. Millions of us. I will not stand before God and have him go, where were you on election day when you were picking who gets to make these decisions? And 62 billion lives were at stake and counting. How dare we? It's one thing to show up and lose. It's another not to show up. Participate in politics. I know it's a dirty business. I know it is. It's ugly. It puts you in awkward situations. I spent an hour and a half in a coffee shop talking about sexual stuff with a liberal member of our school board. Is that what I wanted to do with my afternoon? It is not. It is not. But you have to be involved. We are called to be salt and light. We are preservatives about what is good in the culture around us. We are light that reveals the truth. Volunteer in some way at the CareNet Pregnancy Center. Some of you have a powerful gift for this. And there's different ways you can volunteer. They'll elaborate on it. I was on their board for 8 years. I'm not the best frontline counselor. That's not what I want to do. That's not where I should be. But I could do that stuff, the board stuff. Virgil was on that board with me. Nancy Cope has volunteered over there. Lisa Dixon was on the board with me in those days. I know Brianna has volunteered over there. We have different people. You have different gifts. This is something that can matter. This is something that can make a difference. This is something that you volunteer a couple hours of your time, and you actually may save a life. Phenomenal. So A in PACT is to act. The C is for compassion. And this is a great question. Would a friend be comfortable coming to you and talking to you about their crisis pregnancy? And I hope that we're people of compassion and grace. I hope that we don't just tell the truth harshly, but that we listen. I will always be grateful to CareNet Pregnancy Center. I've been involved for a long time in different ways, not active right now, but I have been in different points. And I was a young guy, and mercy and compassion were not at the top of my gifts list. They weren't. And I could be very harsh about some things. And I remember, because what I kind of went to the training, and I was all about the baby, and I was focused on that, and I think that's important. And I walked out of the training going, it's all about the baby, and it's all about the mother. It's all about the woman. And you have to have a full view. And my years as a crisis line worker, listening to women in different times of really terrible times, I began to understand the decisions that were being made. Does not mean I condone, but I began to understand why people make the decisions they do. And so we have to be people of grace and compassion, people who listen, who walk alongside. I think that they do a wonderful job over at the CareNet Pregnancy Center. I hope we do it in our personal lives. In Psalm 103, 11 through 13, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." Maybe you're sitting here today and you're really uncomfortable because you're one of those women who has had an abortion. Understand you're in the right place. Understand you're welcome here. Understand that the cross of Jesus Christ paid for that sin. You are completely forgiven. You don't have to walk in guilt. You can walk in grace. Unmerited favor. Offer people good news and compassion. At the end of Psalm 103, verse 13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." God offers forgiveness. He gives us kind of they call it the Christian bar of soap, some theologians do. 1 John 1, 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And so we want to be people of compassion. And I think this extends, you know, kind of the civil rights idea. If you look, those with disabilities, they are targeted by this. They are targeted by abortion. According to a pediatric geneticist who at the time was at Boston Children's Hospital, he reported that his estimate was that 92% of all women who received a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome choose to terminate the pregnancy. What is that? That is saying that this life, because it doesn't look the way I hoped it was going to look, this life is damaged, this life is not valuable enough, and so I will take this life. All life matters. All has the imprint of God. We're all broken in one way or another. The final idea in PACT is tell the truth. Sometimes we're the only ones that hold up the mirror. The Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood, why are children aborted? 1% is because they're victims of incest or rape. 1% because of fetal abnormalities. 4% had a doctor who said their health of the woman would be worsen if they continued the pregnancy. 50% said they didn't want to be a single parent or they had problems in current relationships. 66% stated that they could not afford a child. People could check more than one box. You're going, the math's not adding up here. I get that. 75% said that the child would interfere with their lives. And so we kind of put it all together and dig through it. About 95% were killed by abortion for reasons of difficulty, or even we could use the word convenience, that it doesn't fit with my life right now. A great question to ask if you're sitting with someone is to ask the question, whatever the reason is that's being given, is that a significant reason to take the life of a toddler? Because it's the exact same thing. And so sometimes that can clarify. What shocked me is that about 65% of women who have abortions self-identify, so you can challenge their identification, but self-identify as Christians. So the church has to talk to itself as we talk to the world. 65% self-identify as Christians. I was kind of shocked by that. The truth that we need to share with people is that all life matters, all human life. A Picasso painting is valuable because Picasso painted it. And we are made in the imprint of God. We are created in his image. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In this image, God created them, male and female, he created them. We have infinite value and worth. And then sometimes we think about, well, our value is determined by what someone would pay for it, by the cost. Stop and think about each one of us. God offered his very own son. We just celebrated it at communion to pay for us. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The highest price was paid for you, for me, and for that child. So what part can you play in rescuing the weakest among us? You know, our culture is kind of a, almost seems like a battle, who can be the biggest victim. I get a little tired of that. You know who's at the front of that line? Is someone who's in the womb of their mother and cannot speak. There is no voice for them. Pretty much, it's the voice of the church. It's about it. Some political leaders. What part can you play in rescuing the weakest among us? Those babies who have no rights and no voice. Ask yourself, what can I do? So I want to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to April, who's going to talk to you from the Find Out Free Clinic, because she's going to give you some ways you can do something. Let's pray. Dear God, we lift up our nation, and we are sorry for the blood. Help us to be people of courage, to tell the truth, to sacrifice time, to be engaged. Lord, each child matters. We know they matter to you. Break our hearts for what breaks your hearts, your heart. Lord, open our ears to what our guest has to say. And I pray each of us will walk forward being a person of grace and truth. I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.